The Philippine government looking into a resolution greenlighting the importation of 300,000 tons of sugar without the president's approval. The Alliance of Concerned Teachers calling out the Education Department over the lack of classrooms with students set to return to face-to-face classes. The group's Secretary General Raymond Basilio will join us later on in the program. Former rivals ABS-CBN and TV5 ink a landmark partnership deal. And tributes pour in for the late Philippine sprint queen Lidia De Vega. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Topping the midday news, President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. rejects a proposal for the country to import an additional 300,000 metric tons of sugar. Malacanang says Marcos made the decision as chairman of the Sugar Regulatory Board. It will be investigating the publication of a now-deleted resolution greenlighting that importation. Press Secretary Trixie Cruz Angeles adds heads could roll.
An investigation is ongoing to determine whether any acts that would cause the president to lose trust and confidence in his officials can be found, or if there is malice or negligence involved. In such a case, if such findings are made, then the only determination left will be how many heads are going to roll. Yesterday, a resolution was uploaded on the website of the Sugar Regulatory Administration.
The Producers Federation of the Philippines says it was shocked by the import cancellation, but it believes there's a reason behind it. A group of farmers, meanwhile, says even if the plan to import more sugar would be approved, it would still hit snags.
Globally, may problema rin ang sugar. So, hindi lang alam kung makuha sa other countries itong sugar ipapasok dito sa ating bansa. Producing countries like Thailand, Vietnam, they also import urea. Even China, kulang ang urea nila.
Sugar prices in the Philippines have been surging since February due to depleting stockpile amid rising costs of agricultural products like fertilizer. Business groups are pushing for the make that importation, saying failure to do so would further drive inflation. No new evidence from President Marcos as he rests his case in a long-drawn legal battle over his family's alleged ill-gotten wealth. Meanwhile, other Marcos relatives and co-defendants are given time to present their evidence. Adrian Ayalin gives us the full story.
The camp of President Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr. has rested its Sandigan Bayan case involving alleged ill-gotten wealth, mostly shares of stocks in hotels amassed by his father, Ferdinand Marcos Sr. In a hearing on Wednesday, Marcos Jr.'s lawyer, Attorney Manuel Plaza, was asked by Sandigan Bayan 2nd Division Chairperson Oscar Herrera if he is considering the case rested. Plaza said yes after manifesting that they will adopt the earlier evidence submitted by other defendants to the case. The civil case involves the recovery of alleged ill-gotten wealth, which the Marcoses supposedly acquired through the improper use of funds or properties owned by the government through their associates or cronies. Defendants or accused individuals include Modesto Enriquez, Trinidad Diaz Enriquez, Rebecco Panlilio, Erlinda Enriquez Panlilio, Leandro Enriquez, and others. Based on the original complaint filed by the Office of the Solicitor General and the Presidential Commission on Good Government in 1987, the Enriquezes and Panlilios illegally acquired shares of stocks in 23 corporations during the Marcos regime. In 2009, the PCGG estimated the subject properties in the case to be worth 581 million pesos. The heirs of Enriquez and Panlilio have so far presented 3 defense witnesses. Other members of the Marcos family who are also named as defendants, former First Lady Imelda Marcos and her daughters Senator Aimee Marcos and Irene Marcos Araneta, have yet to present their evidence. The court is giving them time to present their evidence on September 1 and 2 and October 6. Lawyers from the government side said if they fail to present evidence, they will file a motion for the court to declare that the defendants have waived their right to present their evidence. Adrian Ayalin, ABS-CBN News.
COVID cases in Japan surged to another record high. Japan logged over 250,000 new cases Wednesday. That's for the first time since the pandemic began. 251 COVID-related deaths were recorded. Almost half of Japan's 47 prefectures also seeing record daily counts of new infections. As concerns rise over the surging numbers, the Japanese government has approved a proposal to roll out Omicron-specific booster shots to all residents. No word yet when the rollout will begin. President Marcos seeking an enabling environment for the country's health research community, whom he says plays a huge role in the battle against the pandemic. Let's get more details now from our correspondent, Pia Gutierrez. Pia, over to you.
Hi, Carmina. We are here in Clark, Pampanga, where President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. led the opening of the 15th Philippine National Health Research System Week, where he was guest of honor and speaker. And during his speech, the president took time to thank the nation's health researchers for their invaluable contribution to the government's pandemic response, which he says helped in saving the lives of millions of Filipinos from the virus. During his speech, he recalled his first bout with COVID-19 back in 2020, back when very little was known yet about the COVID-19 virus and its treatment. And he said that the work of Filipino health researchers was very important as these paved the way for the country to access information about the virus, which was used effectively in the front lines. This was because the Philippine National Health Research System led the country's participation to the WHO Solidarity Trial. They were also instrumental in developing local COVID-19 test kits and treatments, such as the use of virgin coconut oil and others, as well as the development of evidence-based forecast systems that were used in policy decisions to respond to COVID-19. The president also stressed the importance of synergy and collaboration among different agencies, as well as the sharing of ideas and new information as the country continues to deal with the evolving pandemic situation. Carmina, the president also stressed that Malacanang is currently consulting with the House of Representatives as well as the Philippine Senate on measures seeking to create the country's own virology center as well as the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. This as he noted the need for government to respond more efficiently to public health emergencies such as the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, as well as the need to prepare the country against the threat of emerging viruses. If you would recall, Carmina, the president earlier vowed to establish these centers as part of the administration's legislative agenda during his last State of the Nation address in July. Carmina?
Well, Pia, it's been, over a month since he formally took office and still no health secretary. Any word on that?
No word on that yet, Carmina. We were trying to get an interview with the president, but we failed to interview him, and because that's what we wanted to know. It's already been a month since his own press secretary said that the government or the administration is already in the final stages of deciding on who will be the permanent health secretary of this administration, but no word yet on whether he will be appointing anyone anytime soon. As you know, that there's already an MC number 3, which says that the DOH OIC or any OIC of the government, which has yet to have a head yet, will be staying in office or in authority until the end of the year. So we do not know if the president plans to appoint a health secretary anytime soon, or he will wait until the end of the year before he does that. But the administration has been very keen in saying that the lack of a Department of Health secretary does not mean that there is no urgency on the part of the government to address the ongoing pandemic situation, as they stress that the OIC, which is Undersecretary Maria Rosario Berger, is very capable in leading the Department of Health even during a COVID-19 pandemic, Carmina.
All right, Pia, so we continue to wait. Our very own Pia Gutierrez there joining us live from Clark, where the president delivered her speech today. Thanks, Pia. Back here in the newsroom, the COVID vaccine certificate issued by the Philippine government now accepted across the European Union. The Philippine Foreign Affairs Department says this ensures the seamless, expedited, and safe travel of Filipinos to and within the EU, as well as other jurisdictions that subscribe to the EU Digital COVID-19 Certificate, or EUDCC, system. The DFA adds holders of the EUDCC can also look forward to its digital verification in Philippine ports of entry. The Philippine Senate tightens its health and security protocols after three lawmakers contracted COVID-19. Senate President Juan Miguel Zubiri announced a three-week ban on guests beginning August 14th. There will be exceptions, though, for resource persons, but they will be required to present negative COVID-19 test results before they are allowed entry. There will be a limit on the number of allowed staff members for senators during sessions. Senators Alan Peter Cayetano, Aimee Marcos, and Cynthia Villar have recently tested positive for COVID-19. Well, in just over 2 weeks, the new school year will begin with some institutions set to resume face-to-face classes. Rafael Bosana tells us how they're preparing.
It's the first time for Aleya Ortega to experience face-to-face learning in high school. This is why she's nervous. And while classes will reopen in the middle of a pandemic, she says she's ready to face the challenges.
I make sure to get my hygiene, yung gamit ko po pang hygiene. I always sanitize my hands po para masanay na po sa school. Kada may hawakan po, magsasanitize po ako ng...
Preparation at the Batasang Hills National High School is full steam ahead 2 weeks before the opening of classes. One of the most important preparations is making sure there is adequate ventilation in classrooms.
Ventilation ng mga kwarto, nakaayos na rin. Meron tayong at least tatlong electric fan every rooms. Meron tayong mga na-purchase na temperature machine o temperature scanners. Meron din tayong mga foot baths, alcohol, at mga available na face mask for the students.
Schools must be ready to respond to the possibility of a student exhibiting COVID symptoms.
We are also asking the schools to have what we call a infection control plan or infection containment strategy. Kasi hindi nga natin masasabi, baka may mag-positive po na estudyante. Kailangan may plano yung bawat schools kung ano po yung gagawin nila, kung ano yung protocols nila dyan.
Meron din tayong mga available na scanning machine sa ating mga entrance gates and bawat floor ng ating mga classrooms. Ito ay tatauhan ng ating mga health and safety officers to make sure na may mag-a-assist sa mga bata at maidadala sila sa ating designated isolation rooms. Contact tracing, of course, then imamonitor din natin yung kanilang mga temperature. Kung sakali po, i-refer natin ito sa ating mga health officers at dun sa ating mga partners na sa LGU for proper apprehension po ng ating sitwasyon.
Should this happen, the Department of Health says there's no need to shut down the entire school.
So kung magkakaroon po tayo ng isa o dalawang kaso sa isang classroom, isasara po ang classroom na yun. Yun pong mga bata ang kasama nila sa loob, especially unvaccinated, who just need to quarantine in their homes. Imo-monitor po sila araw-araw para makita natin kung mag-further ang transmission dito sa cluster na ito. But it's the same protocol as we do with the other settings na meron tayo.
The number of fully vaccinated children aged 12 to 17 now stands at 9.7 million. 4.2 million children aged 5 to 11 are also fully vaccinated. The DOH says it will once again submit recommendations to redefine the term fully vaccinated, this time to include a third dose. Verhera says they have previously floated this idea to the interagency task force, but it was stalled due to the reopening of the economy. Aside from minimum public health standards, vaccines, especially boosters, play a vital role in keeping infections low. Unfortunately, the public's uptake on boosters have not been the same compared to the primary series, something which the DOH hopes to reverse amid the rising number of infections. Rafael Bosano, ABS-CBN News.
The Alliance of Concerned Teachers held a protest outside the Department of Budget and Management over the laptops provided to teachers that were found to be outdated and overpriced. Joyce Balancho now joins us with details. Joyce, over to you.
Yes, Carmina, public school teachers who are members of the Alliance of Concerned Teachers, or ACT, believe it is not enough that the Department of Education will invoke the warranty clause to upgrade or replace the outdated laptops that were given to them. For the teachers, someone has to be accountable for the purchase of these gadgets. Initially, the previous DepEd administration requested to buy laptops for a price of 35,000 each, but the PSDBM instead bought units at 58,300 pesos each. Recently, the Commission on Audit flagged the said purchase, noting that there are other options for laptops that are faster yet cheaper in price. For this reason, the teachers held a protest in front of the Office of the Department of Budget and Management this morning to demand accountability. Mina Vivar, the Vice President of ACT-NCR North Cluster, said using warranty is just one of the band-aid solutions to the problem. What the DepEd should do, she said, is to provide the teachers useful gadgets. Earlier, DepEd guaranteed that they have included in the proposed 2023 budget funds to buy added learning materials, including gadgets for teachers. ACT suggests that in the process of the next procurement, there should be a representative from teachers' groups who should be consulted on what exactly they need in order to provide quality education to students. They also demand that corruption be stopped in agencies that are involved in the procurement of things needed by the education sector. Meanwhile, Carmina, Senate Minority Leader Senator Coco Pimentel is seeking an investigation on this questionable purchase of the PSDBM. He filed a Senate resolution urging the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee to look into the matter. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Joyce Balancha there. Take care, Joyce, and you keep safe. Back here in the newsroom, the Alliance of Concerned Teachers also calling out the Education Department for its failure to address the nation's classroom shortage that's ahead of the resumption of full face-to-face classes. The group Secretary General Raymond Basilio now joins us here on the program. Raymond, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Katrina, and good afternoon to our televiewers.
It's Carmina.
Carmina, sorry.
No worries. All right, so let's talk about this. The Education Department being hounded by a lot of problems. So let's first address and talk about the shortage in classrooms. We have just over 2 weeks to go before face-to-face classes resume. You're saying that there is a shortage in classrooms. What's your data? Where did you get it?
Well, yung unang nakita natin, no, when we conducted site visits, this started last March during the conduct of the pilot testing of these face-to-face classes, we saw that schools were not able to admit those students who were willing, you know, to participate in the pilot testing of the face-to-face classes because of the availability of their classrooms. No, it has been for 2 years that the schools were closed, and of course, since the schools are closed, the facilities were really damaged, no? So ang dami nasira, no? Bumabagsak yung pisa, may sira-sirang dingding, walang electrical, yung electrical nito ay puputok, sasabog na, no? Mm. So talagang what they did was they limited the number of students they can admit for that period, no? And this is the same problem that they are going to face for the school opening come August 22, no?
So Raymond, problem, yung shortage ng classrooms na sinasabi nyo, doon lamang dahil sa nag-deteriorate yung ibang mga classrooms. Wala pa dyan yung additional classrooms na kinakailangan because you really have to keep the classroom sizes small due to health protocols because we are still in the middle of a pandemic. Raymond?
Well, 3 points. Now, first, we need to continuously create new classrooms now because our population is growing. And for the past 2 years, we did not create new additional classrooms. Now, that is based on the report of the Commission on Audit. No, they're saying that around for the 8,000 classrooms that were given to the Department of Education over the past 2 years, no, the 7,000 is still under construction and the 1,000 plus is still to be procured, no? Ibig sabihin, hindi pa nagsisimula. So that's the first point. Second point, no, regarding dito sa non-repairs of schools and deterioration of facilities, no, even the Commission on Audit on its report mentioned about this, that only 23% of the total number of schools needed to be repaired were repaired by the Department of Education, no? So ang laki nung hindi nagamit. And third point, we have to make our class size small, no, because of the pandemic to maintain social distancing. So talagang anlaki ng pangailangan for additional classrooms.
Do you think that this was considered by the current Secretary of the Education Department before they went ahead and pushed for the August 22 opening of face-to-face classes, a resumption of classes?
Well, I think we knew about this one, no? But of course, we cannot keep our schools closed, no? So again, throughout the world, no, we are the only country left that is yet to open fully our schools back to our students. So talagang nasa losing end na tayo. And tingnan din naman natin, no, yung nangyari sa mga bata. No, 2 years na wala sila sa schools at andyan na yung mga problema natin ng binabanggit na ng mga experts natin, learning poverty, learning loss.
Yeah.
And napakalaking problema nito. So what we need to do is to fast track the construction and the repairs of these classrooms. Mm-hmm. No?
And do you think that's feasible?
Well, I think it's feasible if we are doing it now, no? For instance, lumabas yung COA report. No, dapat anong ginagawa ng DepEd? Fast track the procurement, fast track the repairs of this classroom. At least ma-repair yung mga existing facilities natin kasi that won't take time naman eh, the repair, no. Pero yung construction talaga, medyo matagal yun, pero kaya dapat ginawa nila yun last year, no, nung wala yung mga bata sa schools natin. Pero,
at saka marami na rin ngayon, Raymond, 'di ba, na mga existing technology na mabilis na makakapagtayo ng mga classrooms. Medyo may kamahalan kumpara sa, you know, traditional ng pagtatayo ng mga eskwelahan, pero mabilis na magagawa.
Tama po kayo dyan, no? So ang kailangan talagang evaluate ng Department of Education dito. Ano ba yung system? Bakit ang bagal? Ang bagal ng ating implementation. So they cannot say na walang budget eh, kasi COA report says that they were not able to utilize the entire allocation, no?
When you look at the response though of the former administration, they're pointing to the pandemic basically as the very reason why, you know, they're not just for this problem but also for the acquisition of learning materials and textbooks. That seems to be a convenient reason that they're using.
But we all know that during the first part of the pandemic, that's true. No? Pero by 2021, we opened up our economy, no? And workers were asked to go back to work. No? And I think that reason is not acceptable. And in fact, they allowed our teachers to look for donations as early as January, February of this year to repair our classroom. So bakit nagagawa ng karaniwang guro ng mga kanilang mga principal through looking for donations na ipaayos yung facilities at hindi magawa ng Department of Education Central Office? Mm-hmm. What's the problem?
Mm-hmm. But this problem stemmed from the past administration. Are you confident that this will be addressed by the current administration?
Well, we are yet to see the particular education program of the current administration. No? Hindi pa namin nakikita and they are not even engaging into dialogues with stakeholders. So, hindi namin alam. No? Pero we've been pushing for these items. No? We communicated with Secretary Duterte regarding these matters. And we believe she submitted a call for 16 billion additional budget for facilities for our schools. So sa amin naman, hindi sapat yun. No? We are calling for at least 32 billion additional fund for 2022 para ma-cover yung repairs and pagsasaayos ng mga facilities natin, especially for those areas that were hit by typhoons and other calamities over the past months.
You know, Raymond, we've spent, I don't know how many minutes already, but we just talked about one problem. We have a couple more to discuss that's hounding the Education Department. That there is zero or was zero physical accomplishments for textbooks and learning materials. I mean, during the first part of the pandemic, when our lives were stopped and the schooling and the learning was stopped for a while, I mean, that sort of created a dent as well. But what we're seeing right now for the zero physical accomplishment for textbooks and learning materials, that's a man-made problem right there, Raymond.
Yes, that's a man-made problem. Again, there's no excuse for that. You know, for the past 2 years, the Department of Education were not able to deliver on-time modules, and it was the teachers who printed out on their own, no, these modules. No, they look for donations for printer, for ink, for band papers to print out these modules. So again, the central office is missing here, no. So that's the question that I am actually posing right now, where we are going to open our schools on August 22, and where are the educational instructional materials to be used by our teachers?
So wala pa, Raymond, when you talk to your constituents, does it seem like it's 2020 all over again when you still do not have the learning materials and textbooks with you?
Well, I will not say that there is no materials at all. Mm-hmm. No, but teachers are not aware what are to be used by August 22. Are we going to use the old books that we used to use before the pandemic, or are we going to use the modules? No, teachers don't know, no, because there's no particular instruction released right now by the Education Department. So, sabi ko nga, baka last minute, no, patarantahin na naman yung mga teachers natin na mag-magic ng mga instructional materials.
Mm-mm. Pero in previous school years, may ganyan bang klaseng memo na binababa?
Well, in the previous school years, sanay kasi tayo na may libro. No? Andun yung libro natin, andyan yung instructional materials natin. So, we're okay with that. Pero tandaan natin that before the pandemic, may issue yung instructional materials natin. No? Napuno ito ng mga mali. No? Hindi tugma at yung mga librong ito ay pre-K to 12 curriculum yung laman. Kaya talagang at that time, the discussion was to print new books. No? So yun yung 2019, yan yung situation natin ng 2019, no? So 2020 nag-pandemic tayo, 2021 pandemic tayo, nag-modules tayo for the 2 years. So hindi na alam ano mangyayari sa libro, no? Mm-hmm. Kaya no, you're saying that zero accomplishment, ibig sabihin walang bagong librong nailimbag. Again, gagamitin natin yung mga libro before pandemic na may mga mali-mali. Ganun yung mangyayari.
What about the laptops that were issued? I mean, that's very controversial now. Senator Coco Pimentel seeking for the Blue Ribbon Committee to investigate this matter. Itong mga na-issue ba na laptops, kaya pa ba for this new school year na gamitin?
Well, kung itong mga laptops na ito are for basic functions, no, like encoding, it will work. No? Pero for online learning, for online classes, definitely, alam mo, parang internet signal natin yung sa Pilipinas eh. Nakasara na yung bunganga mo, pero sa online, nakanganga ka pa. No? Ganun yung nangyari sa mga laptop computers dito. No? I've been receiving reports as far as from Zamboanga na after 5 minutes, no, they have to restart these computers. Kasi talagang entry-level yung specs nito. Eh, no? Entry-level, ibig sabihin yung pinaka-basic na laptop ito. And sa online classes, hindi naman basic yung ginagamit natin. Eh. Kailangan medyo high-end yung specs nito para ma-accommodate yung mga applications na ginagamit natin. And I think yung pinakamasakit dito ay napakamahal ng mga laptop computers nito. And we all know magkano ang laptop computers, no? Hindi tayo pinanganak ngayon lang para hindi natin alam kung magkano yun, no? And sa part namin, no, talagang mabigat ito kasi ang dami naming mga teachers na nakakausap na nangutang para makabili ng sarili ng laptop computers para magamit sa klase kasi hindi sila nabigyan ng laptop ng DepEd, and yet may kita natin itong ganitong iskandal. Talagang mabigat ito sa ating mga teachers.
Meron na ho bang in-issue na memo, communication from the DepEd regarding the use of laptops, kasi hindi naman full face-to-face kasi sa November pa po, di ba? So may guidance ba coming from the DepEd?
Well, magkadugtong ito sa sinasabi ko kanina na ano bang gagamitin sa pagtuturo. Magkadugtong ito dun sa modality. Ano ba yung modality na gagamitin ng mga teachers by August 22, no? Hindi nga alam na teacher eh. Siya ba ay face-to-face? Siya ba ay online? Siya ba ay modular? O siya ba yung tatlo, no?
But shouldn't the teachers also seek guidance from the school itself?
Well, sa school kasi yung kalakaran talaga sa DepEd, no? Hindi ganun kadali magtanong, no? Ang sasabihin lang talaga sa iyo, you wait, no? You wait and see, no? Ganun. Kaya we've been pushing for the higher ups to issue the needed instructions. No? Ano ba ang gagawin ng ating mga teachers? Kasi pag yung modality mo ay online, so kailangan mo maghanda, no? Kailangan mo matiyak na may internet ka, kailangan mo matiyak na may laptop computer ka, And kailangan mo matiyak yung instructional materials mo, no? Kailangan mo maihanda yun, yung mga PowerPoints mo, yung mga videos mo, kailangan mo ihanda yun. Yun yung mahirap sa ngayon, no? Kaya talagang sabi nga namin, yung DepEd parang ngayon lang nag-start ng education program na hindi nila alam yung mga needs and mga requisites ng pagbubukas ng klase.
Mm-mm. But then they're also sort of caught in the middle here because they cannot have a school opening that goes beyond the month of August. So kailangan din nilang mag-open. Go ahead.
Well, technically, they can always amend that. No, we know how it works. No, they can always recommend to the Office of the President to extend the school opening, or they can always look for a new legislation. No, they did that over the past 2 years. No, they can change the date of the school opening. But again, we don't support that as well. No, kami talaga, we've been calling for the opening of schools.
Oh.
Ang kailangan lang talaga yung dito, i-ramp up yung pagsasaayos ng facilities natin, yung mga needs ng ating mga schools. Kasi hindi na kami naniniwala na let's suspend the opening para mabigyan ng time yung government to attend to these things. Eh, 2 years na nga yung naibigay para ayusin yung facilities natin, ayusin yung kalagay ng education system, and nothing happened. So, para sa amin, let's open and let's do this.
And also because the bigger problem here, and you kind of touched on this a while ago, is that the learning poverty of our learners here in the country, it's growing and it's concerning. And that's why these schools have to open. But if these kinds of problems keep on cropping up, it's the learners who are going to suffer even more. Go ahead.
Yes, and that's the risk, no? Pero we are ready to take the risk, and that's why we've been very active and very vocal on this one. We've been calling on our legislators, our congressmen and women senators to take part in providing solutions to the problem. Take note, no? Even the World Bank just issued this survey last week, no? Nasa dulo tayo, no?
Oh,
and we are the highest among the countries throughout the world with the learning poverty or with the learning loss.
Mm-hmm.
So matakot tayo, no? Again, ang pinag-uusapan natin dito ay generation of learners. At kapag bumagsak yung generation, yung kalidad ng edukasyon sa ating mga kabataan, ay ekonomiya ng bansa sa loob ng maraming taon yung apektado.
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. I wish we had more time to talk about the future of the education system as well as the future that awaits us if things continue as is. Raymond Basilio there, the Secretary General of the Alliance of Concerned Teachers. Maraming salamat, Raymond. Thanks for joining us today. Take care and keep safe. Right, we're going to take a break now. Still ahead, we'll speak with Anwarai Party List Representative Florencio Bem Noel on his proposal to put fake news peddlers behind bars. Stay with Dateline Philippines. You're on ANC. We're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Government looking into a resolution greenlighting the importation of 300,000 tons of sugar without the president's approval. The Alliance of Concerned Teachers calling out the Education Department over the shortage of classrooms, with students set to return to face-to-face classes. Former rivals ABS-CBN and TV5 ink a landmark partnership deal. And tributes pour in for the late Philippine sprint queen, Lydia De Vega. Back with more news. The newly appointed head of the Overseas Workers Welfare Administration vows to improve the agency's communication with Filipinos working abroad. OWA Administrator Arnel Ignacio says he wants more overseas Filipino workers to better appreciate and avail of the programs of the agency.
Kapag kami nagsalita, hindi ba parang naguguluhan sila? Why? Because I think we are too technical. So gagawa namin ng paraan yan. We'll make it much, much simpler for our OFWs to appreciate the programs that are all designed for the benefit of our OFWs, like the Education for Development Scholarship Program namin, pinabuo sa amin ni Secretary Tuts Opre, yung ORCC, the Overseas Repatriation Command Center, para kung meron mga gustong mga umuwi kagad. We have the, of course, we still have the Balik Pinas, Balik Hanap Buhay Program.
Ignacio first served as OWA Deputy Director during the Duterte administration. The Metropolitan Manila Development Authority considering bringing back the number coding scheme in the morning. This as traffic congestion in Metro Manila is expected to worsen as more students return to face-to-face classes. But a group says government must look beyond band-aid solutions in solving Metro Manila's traffic woes.
Yung long-term solution dyan talaga mass transport. At pumunta ka sa mga kapitbahay natin, eh talaga naman hindi mo na kailangan magdala ng sasakyan. Kailangan natin paramihin yung mga train. Nandun pa lang tayo doon sa main eh, EDSA, Aurora Boulevard, no? Kailangan dumami pa yan.
Currently, the number coding scheme is only implemented from 5 in the afternoon to 8 in the evening. A hydrologist says the Public Works Department should have prioritized repairing flood control systems instead of working on the Manila Bay Dolomite Beach. The DPWH has said the construction of drainage stations may only be completed by late September due to lack of funds. Professor Mezoni Ligaray of the UP Institute of Environmental Science and Meteorology says government has to figure out a way to address flooding beyond the band-aid solution of using portable pumps.
We have to find some ways to reroute the flood waters, or maybe they can. There are some drainage outfalls that they can slightly open just to reduce the flood waters going towards only one sewage outfall. This is quite ill timed because a project such as these should have been, or I would prefer that they be done before the wet season, because we, in Metro Manila, we know that our city is very prone to flooding, even with a couple of hours of rain. And so this should have been included in the foresight, in the planning. So they need to have a contingency plan when they have this kind of project.
Over in South Korea, its President Yoon Suk-yeol wants a review of the country's disaster management system. That's after heavy rains and floods in Seoul and other parts of Korea killed 9 people. Authorities have warned of more rains in the coming days. According to Manila's ambassador to Seoul, no Filipinos were severely affected by the floods. The embassy remains open to provide essential services despite the bad weather. There are around 50,000 Filipinos living and working in South Korea.
Paan po kami ng mga adjustment para siguraduhin pong hindi po maantala ang serbisyo at para siguraduhin rin po ang safety po ng ating mga clients at lahat po ng pumupunta sa embahada. Paalala po sa ating mga kababayan na mag-monitor pa rin po at mag-ingat. Kung hindi naman po importante yung mga lakad nila, tignan po muna kung safe po na lumabas.
ABS-CBN and TV5 ink a landmark deal to deliver content to the public together. Our very own Warden Guzman now gives us a full story.
No less than MediaQuest Holdings Chairman and TV5 President Manuel Pangilinan welcomed ABS-CBN's Chairman Mark Lopez, President Carlo Katigbak, and Chief Operating Officer Cory Vidanes Wednesday for a landmark deal that would unite the Kapamilya and Kapatid networks. Under the deal, ABS-CBN acquired 35% of the voting and outstanding capital stock of TV5 for 2.16 billion pesos. The deal includes an option for ABS-CBN to raise its stake in TV5 to up to 49.92%.
I think at the end it will raise this level of service to the Filipino people in terms of better content and extensive coverage throughout the Philippines. I think both stations both media organizations have knowledge channels or channels that relate to education. especially to the younger Filipinos. No? So we will continue to promote that. So shared values in terms of public services is very important to both of us.
The goal of the agreement is to improve content, programming, and public service on both sides. Prior to the investment, ABS-CBN was already airing entertainment shows and teleseries on TV5 channels. Pangilinan says talks are still ongoing for a collaboration on news.
I think there is discussion and agreement that news will also be combined in some shape or form. Yeah, that's still a work in progress, though.
Lopez expects even more synergies between the Kapatid and Kapamilya networks soon.
We look forward to this strengthened partnership as we see the opportunity to help TV5 grow and be an important part of every home in the Philippines. For ABS-CBN, it presents an exciting opportunity to achieve synergies in content production, to work with the best talent on-cam and off-cam, as well as to expand our ability to reach and engage with every Filipino throughout the country. This partnership is consistent with the strategic intention of ABS-CBN to evolve and primarily be a storytelling company.
Katigbak adds the agreement is in line with ABS-CBN's goal of excelling as a content creator and storytelling company and will allow Kapamilya content to reach an even wider audience. The agreement is also expected to further invigorate the entertainment and broadcast industry. ABS-CBN will be paying for its acquisition of TV5 shares through the sale of part of Sky Cable to MediaQuest's Signal Cable Corporation. A 38% stake in Sky will go to Signal, valued at 2.86 billion pesos. This part of the deal is expected to improve the coverage of broadband services of both parties, providing Filipinos with quality and affordable internet service while contributing to the government goal of building up digital infrastructure across the Philippines. This union of two of the largest cable networks in the Philippines could deepen further, as the deal includes an option for Signal to increase its ownership in Sky Cable to up to 61% after 8 years.
I am happy and honored to be able to recognize and say what is a matter of fact. Ang atin mga kapatid ay ang atin mga kapamilya.
ABS-CBN shares were placed on a one-hour trading suspension Thursday morning following the disclosure of the deal. Warren De Guzman, ABS-CBN News.
A plunging peso and a weak stock market knocked down the wealth of the Philippines' richest. According to Forbes, the combined wealth of the 50 wealthiest Filipinos dropped to $72 billion this year from $79 billion in 2021. The C siblings took a large hit of around $4 billion as shares in SM Investments drop. Overcoming the odds, though, was property billionaire Manny Villar, whose net worth jumped by over $1 billion. The Aboitiz family, meanwhile, returned to the top five after its flagship Aboitiz Equity Ventures got a boost from its power interests and rising energy prices. Inflation in the U.S. lows in July as energy costs drop. The consumer price index hit 8.5% in July, down from June's 9.1%, but it's still running close to a four-decade high. The easing, though, could potentially take pressure off the Federal Reserve to hike interest rates sharply next month. It also offers U.S. President Joe Biden some political reprieve after spending months on the defensive over rising consumer prices.
We're seeing a stronger labor market where jobs are booming and Americans are working. And we're seeing some signs that inflation may be beginning to moderate. Our work is far from over, but two things should be clear. First, the economic plan is working, and second is building an economy that will reward work. Wages are up this month.
Still, the devil is in the details. A closer look shows the price index did not move at all in July, with a drop in prices of gas, used cars, and airfares only offsetting increases in rent and food costs. Economists also say a single good report is not yet a conclusive sign that price increases are turning a corner. China announces the end of its large-scale military drills around Taiwan, but an army spokesman says Beijing will continue to monitor the situation in the Taiwan Strait and conduct patrols in the waters. The exercises, which included live-fire drills, were in response to the controversial visit of U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi last week. China had said the drills are aimed at delivering a warning as well as a punishment to those seeking secession. Former U.S. President Donald Trump refuses to answer questions under oath in the probe into his family's business practices. During 4 hours of questioning at the New York Attorney General's office, Trump repeatedly invoked the Fifth Amendment, which allows individuals to remain silent to protect against self-incrimination. In a statement, Trump claimed he had no choice but to plead the Fifth to protect his family and company from what he called a politically motivated witch hunt. The New York Attorney General's investigation is just one of several active probes into the billionaire's business practices and other actions. Earlier this week, the FBI raided the former president's Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. Media reports said the search was related to the potential mishandling of presidential documents. Disney Plus streaming service sees a surge in its number of paying subscribers in the last quarter. Disney Plus users topped 152 million, up some 31% from the same period last year. Amid fierce competition, its rival Netflix has reported losing subscribers for two quarters in a row. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. The Philippine sports community mourning the death of sprint queen Lida De Vega. This report looks back at her achievements and how she influenced the next generation of Filipino sports icons.
Lida De Vega Mercado, once known as Asia's fastest woman, passed away Wednesday. She was 57. In a Facebook post, her daughter Stephanie Mercado announced Lida's death. Stephanie said her mother fought a good fight and is now at peace. Lida had been battling breast cancer since 2018. She underwent several procedures, including brain surgery, and had been in critical condition in recent weeks. Decades before her battle with the Big C, Lida was the finest track athlete to come out of the Philippines. She won the 100-meter dash in the 1982 and 1986 Asian Games. She also ruled the sprint double in the Asian Athletics Championship in 1983 and 1987. Lida was also a 9-time gold medalist in the Southeast Asian Games. She retired from competition in 1994 and went on to become a track coach.
Lida De Vega Mercado.
Her last public appearance was at the 2019 SEA Games, where she served as one of the country's flag bearers. Decades may have passed since she last ran a race, but Lida's exploits won't soon be forgotten. The country's pole vault champion, EJ Obiena, made a huge donation to Lida's medical expenses. It was a no-brainer, according to EJ, to help out a legend who paved the way for Filipino athletes like him to shine on the international stage.
She's just not a certain athlete in my perspective. There's not going to be an EJ Obiena, Eric Trey, all of these legends in track without Lida De Vega. There might not even be Patafa without Lida De Vega. There might not even be athletics in the Philippines without Lida De Vega. So it's just a way for me to give back to her. That's one thing. But most importantly, I saw it as she needed it more than me. You know, yeah, I'm struggling with training, but yeah, my coach is here. My physio is here. I can do what I need to do. I'll make ends meet. But she needs this. This is life or death. This is health. This is definitely much, much bigger than just sport itself. So it's not a very, how do you say, it's not a very difficult decision to make.
Even in death, Lida De Vega continues to inspire the country's next generation of track stars. Rain Musngi, ABS-CBN News.
Well, tributes are pouring in for the late sprint queen. President Marcos saying he joins the entire nation in mourning the death of Lida De Vega. The president adds, De Vega has run her last race. She has finished her contest. She has fought a good fight. De Vega's fellow legend, bowling champion Paeng Nipomuceno, said it's a sad day for Philippine sports. as he condoled with De Vega's family. The Philippine Track and Field Association also paying tribute to De Vega. PATAFO President Terry Capistrano says their organization lost one of its own, one of their best, but her spirit will live on in their hearts. And former President, now House Senior Deputy Speaker Gloria Arroyo said De Vega was a big loss for Philippine sports, which she put on the world map with her achievements. All right, we were supposed to interview Anwaray Party List Representative Florencio Bem Noel on his proposal to put fake news peddlers behind bars, but he hasn't been responding to our calls despite having confirmed that he would come on the program. And so we leave it at that. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.